Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. The message today is titled, "He Shouted All the More." Hear the word of God from Hebrews chapter 7. Now, there have been many of these priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, unlike the other high priests. He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself for the law, For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Here ends the first lesson, our Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The Gospel according to Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love. And show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. A year. Yes. A year has gone by. A year ago this date, October 24th, I was in Decorah, Iowa, for my father's memorial service. I left for Decorah on Friday morning, the 23rd, and drove the 600 plus miles, and made sure all that would be needed was with me for the memorial service. I went through the checklist, making sure I would not be forgetting anything. Alb, Grandpa's red stole, cincture rope, suit, shirt, belt, all the other things that go with that. Tab collar, my cross my mom and dad gave me at my ordination. notes, service bulletin that I had prepared for the service, and most important, my father, and along with the American flag for his memorial service. Yes, my dad's cremains would be riding with me on his final trip to Decorah to be laid to rest next to my mom. As the all along, as the miles rolled by, those familiar miles of heading home to Decorah, recalling the times of the many trips of years gone by, my mind was reaching for mercy. Mercy of the Lord. Mercy of the Lord God, just to make it through the next few days. I knew that in myself, the strength for the day just wasn't there. With the coronavirus, travel restrictions, and quarantine days upon returning home, I was making the trip alone, without Heather by my side and the girls Marissa and Ari at home. Too many obligations to miss with quarantining for 14 days upon returning from Iowa for them to come along. I mean, senior year in school, Marissa had concerts at school and other things going on. Aria Nutcracker practice was in full steam. So I was in the pilot driving to that place I know oh so well. From a lifetime of summers visiting grandparents, my mom's mom and dad. For Decorah was my mom's birthplace and hometown until she moved away, married to my dad. It was in Decorah High School my parents met. My dad's dad, became the pastor of Glenwood Lutheran Church just outside of Decorah. And by the Father's hand above, the years went by with blessings and also hardships. Arriving in Decorah, going in to check into the hotel, I learned that family was already there in the conference room. They were waiting for my arrival. And there in that conference room were my dad's two brothers and their wives. Two of the three brothers, the third brother and wife, couldn't make it. My brother and his wife, almost all of my cousins, as they were all close to my dad through the years, and pizza was waiting too. All through the time I knew I needed the mercy of the Lord for the emotion, the sadness that brought us all together, along with the joy of being together. Still, the sadness was in and all around us in the air. The next day, October 24th of last year, the sun rose and was shining, and in me were butterflies flying in my stomach. My tummy was tumbling with the butterflies. The usual enjoyable breakfast fare was not offered due to the coronavirus impact on all aspects of life, so a simple bowl of cereal was all I had instead of that longed-for Belgium waffle I always get when traveling, all the while watching the watch. Minutes ticking by. Get ready. Get over to the church to set up and get all things in place for my dad's memorial service. Lord, have mercy on me. Over and over was rolling through my mind. Lord, have mercy on me. Who am I? Who am I to preach before my uncles and my aunts and my cousins and my siblings too? They knew what I was when I was a kid. Knew me well from the many summers we would spend together. Knew me well from growing up together. Who am I to preach to them? Who am I to stand in the pulpit that my grandfather stood in preaching? Lord, have mercy, was my constant cry. How can I get through the moment of my father's funeral? I needed mercy, and for mercy I was crying out. As there are many moments in life. Many moments in life. Our ability, our strength, our resources just are not enough. And they were never meant to be enough. So that in moments we would turn to the one who can give more than we could ever ask for. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. They're such powerful words coming from a powerless position in life. Yes, coming from powerlessness. The position of powerlessness. For it is when we are powerless, we realize and we let loose with that anguish of heart that truly reaches the heights of heaven with power that penetrates through to the Father's throne and the abode of the risen Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. Rises to the place that Christ has ascended to as the crucified and risen Son of God, is the forever permanent high priest, as it's written in Hebrews chapter 7, beginning verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Christ intercedes for us before the Father. Our cries for mercy flowing from our helplessness and powerlessness pierces through to the heavens all the way to the Lord of Lords, and he hears and he intercedes for us. We know this to be the case, for the nature of Christ does not change. The compassion of his disciples witnessing and wrote about in the testimonies of the Gospels is the compassion ever waiting for your cry. Yes, waiting for your cry. Lord, have mercy on me. On the way to Jericho, in passing through Jericho, traveling from Jericho, Jesus was traveling with his disciples and a large crowd was following along. Lots of noise, lots of commotion was the scene and filled the air with the great hubbub of this and that that accompanies crowds. Along the roadside was a blind man begging, needing help just to live life. Begging was all the blind man could do, a blind man named Bartimaeus could do. Importuning those passing by, earnestly asking, as he usually did day after day. Pay attention. Note that it's a specific name given here of a man, Bartimaeus. And this is an indication that familiarity was possible with those who were hearing this gospel during that time. Perhaps they had even met Bartimaeus without realizing what the Lord had done for him. Sitting on the side of the road, the unusual commotion caught Bartimaeus' attention. As if you were in your house and all of a sudden noises were filling the street right in front of your home, your curiosity would call you to the window to go and look and see what is happening. Commotion draws your attention, and the commotion coming towards him caused Bartimaeus to inquire what was going on. It's Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. Mark chapter 10 verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When Bartimaeus learned it was Jesus, he began to shout. The Greek word is kratzo and onomatopoeic. It's a term for the raven's piercing call, kratzo. Onomatopoeias are words that phonetically mimic. Boy, try to say those fast. Phonetically mimics the sound it describes. Examples of onomatopoeias are meow, woof, boom, oink, bzzz, clatter, on and on. Bartimaeus bursts out in blistering cries as the people were rebuking him to be quiet. Bartimaeus was causing such a racket that they were rebuking him to be quiet, be silent, as the sounds coming from him were inappropriate for the moment. "Just shut up and be quiet," many said to him. But the more they said that to him, the more they kept telling him to be quiet, the more he kept crying out. Bartimaeus would not be quiet. He would not shut up his mouth. No, now was the time to cry out. Now was the moment. Now's the opportunity that never may come again. Jesus is passing by. How does a blind man find Jesus? Can he play Marco Polo in the crowd, as kids oftentimes play in swimming pools? Could Bartimaeus make his way through the crowd to Jesus? Not likely. What could he do? What could he do? Only option, only choice for this only opportunity was cry out. Cry out at the top of his lungs with all the energy he could muster to move the maximum amount of air for the fullness of a piercing sound to penetrate through the hubbub and noise of the crowd to reach the ears of Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Over and over his piercing cry went, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. The more they told him to be quiet, the more he cried out. There's a lesson for you and I here. A lesson. Don't let the voices of the crowd shut up your testimony of the faith. Don't let them silence you about speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The more the popular voice in the community and in the crowd and in the internet says, shut up about the faith, all the more you cry out about the faith. Cry out and give glory to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is much in these words of Bartimaeus, son of David. Yes, son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, it is a messianic term. It means Messiah. You are the Messiah. The Messiah would come from the house of David. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning of verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he'll be called, the Lord our righteousness. And then Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 17. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Bartimaeus was calling out, expressing faith that the long-promised Messiah was right there. He's crying out. In other words, it's Messiah. Messiah Jesus, have mercy on me. That's the meaning of the expression. He's expressing faith. The Messiah has come. Expressing faith that he just could not shut up about and be quiet about. The faith had him call out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew the Messiah was there. Have mercy on me. In the manner Bartimaeus was calling out, there's a feeling, a presence of expectation of receiving exactly what he's calling for. He's calling for mercy. Bartimaeus was expecting to receive mercy from the Messiah. It's written in the Psalms many, many places. Here's just but a few. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 33, verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord on those who fear him, on those who hope, is in his unfailing mercy. And the encouragement to call out is also found in Psalm 34, verse 6. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. In Psalm 34, verses 17, 18, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Bartimaeus calling with expectation brings results. Mark chapter 10, verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up! On your feet! He's calling you. Jesus stops and gives a command. Commands the one calling out to him to be brought to him. Other voices echo the call to the blind man, saying to him, take courage. Rise up. He calls you. Bartimaeus, he has heard you, and he calls for you. Courage literally means to radiate warm confidence and is often used to refer to God bolstering the believer. The Lord is infusing His strength by the Lord's inworking of faith, producing bold courage flowing from that inner confidence that the Spirit produces. Courage! Rise up! He calls you. Such excitement! Jesus calls you. He calls you. Look at Bartimaeus' response. He casts aside his cloak. He casts his cloak away. He just tosses it away. That ever important garment that keeps him safe and warm. The cloak that he has kept in all his begging days. It's cast away at the call of Jesus. An action of faith casting away. He will no longer need the cloak, for Jesus has called him. Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus. Mark chapter 10 verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. By the time of this encounter with Jesus, the words and wonders and the many marvelous miracles of healing were well known throughout all the region. For Jesus is now on his way to Jerusalem. The very next section in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 11, recounts the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just a few short days from now and a few short days later, Jesus will be crucified for our sins. So this encounter with Bartimaeus comes as the earthly ministry of Christ is coming to a close. As the cross looms large, as Mark records a few verses later, and he also recorded a few verses earlier, before this account of blind Bartimaeus. Earlier it's written, Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 32, they were on their way up to Jerusalem. With Jesus leading away, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. And will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. So between this interaction with his disciples and Mark chapter 11, the entry into Jerusalem, triumphant hosannas and all those things, triumphal entry into Jerusalem in Mark chapter 11, Jesus and Bartimaeus come together. Bartimaeus requests, Rabbi, I want to see. Didn't ask for more food. Didn't ask for more money. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, asks to see. I want to see. And notice that Bartimaeus did not give a list of all the good things he had done to show how worthy he was of having his request fulfilled. As the beloved young rich man, a few verses earlier in Mark chapter 10, came with his request to inherit eternal life. No, Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, with no pretension, requests, I want to see. Bartimaeus' call for mercy was so he could say, he could see, I want to see. And Jesus responds, Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Go! Your faith has healed you. Faith. The Greek word is pistis, and it can be translated as faith, belief, trust, confidence. Bartimaeus expressed faith. He expressed belief. He expressed trust and confidence. He believed Jesus is the Messiah. As he was calling out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus believed, had faith, had confidence Jesus would respond to his call for mercy. Bartimaeus believed Jesus, the Messiah, could do something about his blindness. I want to see. He wouldn't ask. If he didn't have confidence, it would be answered. And Jesus, with a command, says, Go. And immediately Bartimaeus was healed. Healed in the Greek, it's sozo. Sozo. It means delivered out of danger into safety, and is used principally of God rescuing believers from the penalty and power of sin and His internal provision of safety. Sozo is the root of the word soter, which means Savior. Soter is Savior, deliverer, and the root of soteria, which means salvation. All these things are tied together. Jesus, Son of David, has healed, has brought salvation to the blind man Bartimaeus, and the healed, seeing Bartimaeus now follows Jesus towards and into Jerusalem. Follows Jesus towards Jerusalem and into Jerusalem, where the wonder and greatness of mercy will be put on full display. For mercy is an essential quality of the Lord our God. It's written in Psalm chapter 145, verse 8, The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and in great loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. The Lord hears our cries for mercy, and the Lord answers our cries for the mercy. The Lord heard my constant cry for mercy a year ago, this date, October 24th, as the tears were cresting and ready to crash and cascade down my cheeks. The Lord helped me through the memorial service at Glenwood as I was standing in the pulpit that my grandfather preached from. And then a short while later at the graveside, as the Air Force Honor Guard handed the urn to my older brother, who handed it to me, the tears once again were ready to break forth in the committal service as I kneeled on the ground, holding my father's ashes in the urn, taking a deep breath after another deep breath so I could simply say, Eternal rest, grant him, O Lord. Then reaching down into the ground to lay my dad to his resting place. Mercy of God. Mercy of God is all that we ever really have. Compassion and loving kindness of the Lord for us. As ash to ash and dust to dust, we all will one day be. The mercy of the Lord is all we have. It's all we really have. And in that mercy is our salvation. Salvation, such a great gift that we can't be silent about it. We must shout it out loud all the more. Be as Bartimaeus. The more the crowd told him to be quiet, he shouted all the more. In these days of suffering and hardship, in these days of needing great mercy, lift up your voices and shout all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Oh, how we need mercy these days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Shout it out all the more. Amen and amen.